This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock on Fan Run Radio. Time to send things back to the studio. GP3 as the Top 4 at 4. Guy?
Thank you, Russell. Getting things started today. We just got the breaking news on the other side, but former Mississippi State receiver Javonte Payton will be heading to Tennessee this year. He had 28 catches for 372 yards and one touchdown during his 2 years with Mississippi State.
Say those stats again one more time at Mississippi State.
28 catches for 372 yards and one touchdown.
Not a lot of catches. Did he have injury issues or something? I went back and watched the highlights today of his game against LSU. He was fantastic. They're lining him up all over the place, throwing him deep fades. He's going up, making plays. He looked awesome.
It doesn't look like he played much in 2019. I think that's probably why. He only had 9 catches in 2019. Okay.
Well, that was when – who was their coach? Oh, that would have been Mullen. I don't know. Maybe they just weren't throwing to him much.
I'm trying to think if they had any other big – wide receivers at that time who are, I mean, I don't know, A.J. Brown would have been at Ole Miss. Just trying to think if there's any other NFL kind of competition that who would have been behind in the depth chart.
Yeah, I think that Fred Brown guy that the Titans just
oh, that's right. We talked about that yesterday. He played with Dak.
Was that a long time ago? I don't know. We're getting lost in the weeds here, but hopefully a good pickup for Josh Heupel in the wide receiver group today.
All right, moving on, number 2. Kennedy Chandler has received a bump in the 247 composite rankings. He was at number 11. He's been bumped up to number 8, and he surpassed the other point guard that was ahead of him who was committed to Alabama. Not sure what his name is. I'm trying to find it here. But he is now the number 1 point guard in the class, top 10 overall player.
Yeah, he passed the guy that's committed to Alabama.
Right.
So... good news.
I think
our class is now ranked. Yeah.
Yeah, JD Davison.
Davison. Yeah, that's right. And boy, Alabama's going to be loaded next year, but a long time before we have to cross those particular bridges. Our class is now ranked number 2 in the country according to 247. Michigan number 1, Duke number 3. Suck it, Davy Hudson.
Yep, 5 commits now, 2 5-stars, 2 4-stars, and 1 3-star, according to 247.
Hashtag feels good, man.
And our lowest 4-star is still the 60th overall player, so, I mean, they're all really high. We have a really high average rating, too, of .9669.
Yeah, we're going to go through this here in a second. They really bumped up a lot of guys, including Adu, Kennedy Chandler, and, of course, Huntley Hatfield was reclassified, so they put him at number 20 or so. Remember, he was a top 10 player in the class of 2022, and they moved him up and a top 20 player, still very highly touted.
So I thought I heard on maybe on 3 and Out this morning, Rick Barnes has said that they're done for right now.
Yeah, he said probably. We'll see.
Does that mean that my guy – Hamdi Tamba over Catholic is not going to reclassify? Any thoughts, Russ? Anyone? Bueller? Rick?
I think Russ had to step away for a second. I honestly have no idea whether or not he would reclassify or not, but at this point, do we really need him?
I don't know that either side needs it. I mean, the only thing he would get used for this year is, you know, being Fulkerson's practice dummy.
I guess it wouldn't hurt to get him into the system and have him start training under a collegiate, you know, workout program. I guess that wouldn't hurt at all.
I mean, it could, but also, you know, I mean, he is playing in one of the best AAU teams in the nation, and for a top 50 caliber high school program over there at Knox Catholic. All right, go ahead.
All right, moving on, number three. We got Tennessee Smokies. They had to cancel their game yesterday. They are set to have their opening day tonight starting at 7 p.m.
Fired up for a little minor league baseball for us? A little nine-inning vacation?
Yeah, man, exciting to get up there to go to a couple of games. It's interesting, you know, the difference between the minor league games and the college games. It's a totally different thing, right? You go up to Smokies Park, and it'll be this way when they move downtown. You don't care about the game. You don't even know any of the players. You don't care who wins. It's all about sitting out in the sun, having some good foods, cold drinks, and just relaxing for a little bit. College baseball, we actually know the players. We want to win.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's got the intense – I mean, it's got all the built-in rivalries, like our blood hatred of every other SEC school. That we've got a fiery coach, so.
Yeah. All right, is that it? GP3.
Got one more. Sticking with minor league baseball, we got a bit of a feel-good story. Drew Robinson, who is a minor league player for the San Francisco Giants, he has made their roster, and he's expected to start in tomorrow's game for them. And this comes less than a year after a suicide attempt where he lost his eye. So he no longer has one of his eyes, and he has rehabilitated enough and progressed enough during training that he will be able to start for a AAA affiliate for the Giants tomorrow.
Wow. This story is, you know, this story goes way back, and it is wild. He was on the Rangers at the time, but like he said, this guy tried to take his own life. He shot himself in the head. It didn't work. He shot out his eye and then just waited there in his house for some 24 hours or so, and then eventually decided to call the police himself. I mean, he picked up the phone and called 911. Again, his eye is out of the skull. I don't want to get too gross myself out here, but for him
that
to have this...
That apparently happens more than one would realize.
Oh, my
gosh. Wait a minute. I don't want to... So, he's waiting for 24 hours. What's going through his head during the... I'm not trying to make light of this situation, right?
No, absolutely.
He's just wanting to die?
Yeah, he's either waiting to die, contemplating trying again. I mean, presumably he's got a gun with more bullets in it, deciding, do I call the... I would be really interested to hear that side of it. I'm glad things worked out.
It's a really fascinating story, Russell, and I'll just give you a small tidbit of it right now. But he said in an interview, he said, quote, "I was supposed to go through that. I'm supposed to help people get through battles that don't seem winnable. It was completely supposed to happen. There's no other answer. It was supposed to happen because," he said, "it was supposed to happen. I shot myself, but I killed my ego." And I think in that moment for him, it was like that's when he rethought basically everything and decided that, hey, there was enough to live for. He needed to go ahead and call the authorities.
That's a permanent solution to temporary problems.
He pondered that all that over 24 hours. That's wow. What a story. Okay. Well, glad he fought through it. Thank you, Guy Patterson III. That is the top four at four this afternoon. On the Drive, it's brought to you by our friends at Logo Solutions. Does your business or organization need great products to help promote your brand, services, or message? If so, it's Logo Solutions. Over a million customizable products, including apparel, headwear, promotional product size, banners, business cards, and more. If you've got a logo, they've got a solution. Start shopping today at LogoSolutionsInc.com or just call RB at 966-3434 for your free consultation and quote. Open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. You're just joining us today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. How do you describe your interest level in Tennessee football right now as we sit here today on this Cinco de Mayo? Are you A, optimistic, B, pessimistic, or C, apathetic? And the number starting to sway a little bit here, Bear, apathetic still leading the way, 45.9% of the vote. But catching up is optimistic, 41.5%. That's good for our business. Only 12.6% of the audience would describe themselves as pessimistic. And doesn't that kind of hint at what Topmeyer was talking about in hour number one about the pessimistic folks, the negativity that Danny White is referencing on Twitter. Those folks are vocal, but it is by no means a majority of the Tennessee fan base.
Right. I think it absolutely, that's it in a nutshell. So, I mean, Tennessee fans, hope springs eternal. So, but I do think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, Coach Heupel and staff have hit the portal hard and they've landed some guys. And it's given the fan base some hope for us.
Going back to the conversation with Topmeyer, is it frustrating to you guys that the investigation thing? I mean, it's shaping up to be one of those things where every time we're given a timetable, it's pushed back, right?
Everybody needs to get used to it, buddy.
Yeah, they told us that during the big press conference when they announced the Pruitt's firing and Fulmer's stepping down, that they hope to have it. We're almost done. That was back in January, whenever, right? We're almost done with the entire thing. And now it's, well, we hope to be done by the end of the school year. We hope to be done by June, whatever. And that timetable just keeps getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And then, as Blake said, the NCAA involvement, who knows what their timetable is. It's, they've got the slowest timetable in the history of timetables. So, it's frustrating when you think about how long this all could take.
Yeah. I mean, we're just going to have to buckle up, man. I mean, that's our reality now.
865-546-8200, your number. We go to the phones for the first time this afternoon, and Phil is up first today on the drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
Boys, how are you?
Billy, what's up?
How you bearing, Fablestone?
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
Guys, I guess we'll start with football first. That was a good interview with Topmeyer. He kind of pretty much summed it up, what's going on over there. And my only problem is the ones who let it go on the watch, they're still over there. They should have got rid of them, too.
Who?
The chancellor.
Talking about Chancellor Plowman and Randy Boyd, Phil?
I don't know. That seems pretty harsh to me, guys.
Well, they're going to flush them all out. Phil, they're just as guilty for all that crap that went on. Well, blind eye until they got caught. No, so we didn't know what was going on.
No, I think the one criticism I do think that is valid that you've raised, Phil, is the signing off on those contracts. But as soon as Plowman became aware of, and it was from former beloved member of the drive, War Eagle Wallace, as soon as her office became aware of any kind of alleged impropriety,
they handled it by the book.
Yeah. I mean, it was done. It all, you know, the Pruitt regime fell apart within what, Russ, 48 hours.
Yeah. They didn't let any of this happen, Phil. That's a preposterous statement.
Have you seen anybody in the SEC act like we do in football? They defend their coaches to the end, but still fire them. That's how it's done. We don't do it that way. We just pay buyout after buyout after buyout, get nothing out of it. Like 15 years of misery, and we're still, you know, hoping along here. And hopefully, I'm halfway hopeful we can win six games now after he's going to get an offense that can at least maybe outscore some people. That's what I think they're trying to do.
Well, I get all that, but it's kind of like blaming Heupel for the mess he inherits, right? I mean, Plowman and Boyd weren't here for Butch and Dooley and Kiffin and the end of the Fulmer era. So I just don't think
haven't learned from our lessons yet. And putting Fulmer back in there in bed with him two times in 15 years, I mean, let's get real. You knew what the result was going to be.
Again, I don't necessarily disagree, but I don't see how you can lay that at the feet of the current president and chancellor.
Okay. Go blame it on somebody. There's still ones over there, and if this is not a good decision of Danny White and the football coach, then they need to be gone too. All we care about academics, or we care about winning football?
I don't think they care about either one the way they behave over there.
I could care less about their academics over there. I'm long gone from that dump over there.
Yeah, I mean, academically, it's a totally different institution than the one that most of us attended. I mean, it's just it's a different ball game over there. I mean, they take it so much more seriously, and it's so much more expensive.
Russ, they still. I mean, that was the thing. Who was that? Was that Booger Cheek? That wanted us to be like a top 50 research institution.
Yeah.
And then we dropped. And we've always, Tennessee has always been known as one of the, in especially in certain fields, you know, the one that immediately comes to mind is, or a couple, our engineering department, certainly veterinary science has always been, you know, world renowned. And, you know, there's Jimmy, Booger Cheek. A guy that ate a booger on national TV.
Yeah. Says it all about it. I want to congratulate Bobby Mays for getting a degree. I saw it on the internet today.
Oh, good for him.
Way to go, Bobby.
And
gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I hope they can, you know, keep feeding the big orange over here. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you've made your preference quite clear, Phil. Yes, Bobby Mays, much more important to the University of Tennessee than Donnie Plowman in the minds of Phil. And
there we
can't
go.
Say that I don't disagree.
We're getting something good out of it, but this basketball recruiting class has to be the best one in the history of the school. When have we had four top 50 players? Never.
We haven't, but we've still yet to and all my years of watching it, have still not signed anybody in the same realm as Bernard King. That may be unfair. I don't know that we ever will.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Bernard King is the best they ever played in the SEC. I mean, there's a lot of great players that's come through the SEC, and, you know, he's the best player in the SEC, but a lot of people have done more of what they had than what we've done. So it's time for us to even odds up and do something. I'm going to be like Utah. I want something done over there. I'm tired of seeing mediocrity. Tennessee basketball is upper-level mediocrity. That's what football used to be, but now it's just a pile of flop right now.
Tennessee basketball is upper-level mediocrity.
Yeah.
It's good to see you're in a great mood today, Phil.
Until it gets above 2016, that's what it is. Wouldn't you agree?
No. No, I would not agree. It's not upper level mediocrity. It's lower level. What's the word I'm looking for here? It's lower level.
It's the lower portion of the top tier, I think.
Lower level greatness.
boy, that's pretty funny. Well, I guess I better get off here and. Fellas, I guess I'll call you boys in the morning. Y'all got more sense than this afternoon crew. See
you. Whoa.
I mean, Phil.
Hey, which morning crew is he referring to?
Yeah, shout out to the boys from 10 to 12. That's what I heard.
Well, I mean, I hate to point out the obvious, but all three of you guys started off with me and Russ.
That is true. Phil's made for three and pout, though. I mean, is there any doubt?
Oh, yeah. Sunshine pumper when things are going great. Just miserable when at any sign of trouble. Probably still wants Jamie Chadwell.
Eight six five five four six eight two zero zero your number to get up with us. We'll always be able to lighten the mood a little bit with our next caller. Jamie is next. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Hey, can y'all hear me okay?
Loud and clear, buddy.
Go ahead.
I'm trying this hands-free device again. Let me know if it's weak.
It does sound a little funky to me. What do you think, Bear?
Let me jump off of it.
I mean, come on, Jamie. You know the rules now.
Just a little public
service. Much better now, I'm sure.
Show quality to anybody. And we hope that you will call the show. It is time to fire up the Drive's new caller development program. But rookie mistake, Jamie. Come on, speak into your phone. No speaker phones, no earpieces, no dongles. You call into a radio show, you got to do it the old-fashioned way. Sound quality first. That's what I always say.
I'm with you, Russ. I'll admit that. That's takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. Hey, my other favorite rookie mistake is when people talk and then they stop their sentence and go, "Are y'all there?" Like, well, look, dude, we're listening to you. Go ahead. I got to agree somewhat with Phil. Shocking. You know, Dante Plowman and Boyd signed off on the Rays for Jeremy Pruitt for doing absolutely nothing but taking ass whoopings from the top three rivals over there. But, you know,
any argument from being Russell or Rick or Guy for that matter. We've been pretty upfront about it.
Let the record show the Drive. And we were specifically one of the few media voices the week before the South Carolina game calling into question the timing of that and the prudence of that decision. We were called negavals. We were said, especially after Tennessee won the game, "Oh, you guys are just trying to stir up controversy and everything." No, actually, it was a dumb decision then, and it's a dumb decision now. So that is true. But with Boyd and Plowman and those decisions, that's why they hire Fulmer, and they hire him to trust in them. I laid that decision at him. You know, Plowman is not a sports expert.
That's fair.
Randy Boyd has a little bit of sports background, but that generally speaking, I would imagine that it's that way at most big time athletic departments and universities, where you've got presidents and chancellors that are more or less just signing off on the decisions of their athletics directors.
Well, one thing you can lay at their feet was, even after the worst season in the history of UT football, they were going to bring this clown back for year four. Now, that's directly on there, you know. I mean, I understand the day-to-day operations by your athletic director, but they had already made it clear they weren't getting rid of him. So they're, you know, if you got to ask me if I'm confident, semi-confident, or pessimistic about the leadership over University of Tennessee, I'm extremely pessimistic. So, you know, and that's just based on their track record so far. You know, it's not like I just woke up one day and say they're stupid. You know, they were going to bring, you know, we talked about this the other day. Would you rather have had Pruitt in year four and no sanctions, or Heupel in year one with sanctions? And I'm like, fans are just dropping off like flies. And you bring Pruitt back for year four, and you make the move after year four from sucking, you're going to have you think it's bad right now with 50%, you know, cautiously optimistic. We think that number be after year four of Pruitt. You know, it's like the good mayor said, they care about football at other schools. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody who cares less than the University of Tennessee. You got programs that have never won anything that reach for the sky out there. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, you know, Kentucky. You know, they have no business thinking they can compete, but by damn, they think they can, and they're doing everything in their power to do so. So, I mean, those are good points brought up by the mayor, and I know y'all are shocked that I'm agreeing with, but somebody argue me any of that.
I'm just stunned that all of a sudden the show's turned into some sort of referendum on Dondi Plowman and Randy Boyd. I mean, where did this come from?
Phil,
be careful what you guys wish for. I mean, Bear talked about the Booger Eater and some of the other clowns. DiPietro, some of these guys that we've had there.
Jay Wade Gilly. I remember when he spent like $50,000 on Alabama cribs and carpet for his office.
And an outdoor kitchen.
We've been a joke. We've been a joke forever.
I like the guy who had the $100,000 grill over there on Cherokee Boulevard.
Yeah, that was, and you know,
was that the same guy whose old lady went off on one of our biggest boosters?
John Shoemaker.
Yeah, his wife is a piece of work, from what I remember.
Guys, it's a miracle we're even hanging on as much as we're hanging on as a comp. You know, we're not even a competitive program, but damn, we're a couple of good wins over some good rivals and some good classes, and man, we'd be right back. And it's amazing that we're as close to, you know, having a chance of being back than, you know, than the leadership that we've had over the last 20 years would dictate. But nice deflection there, Russ, about the Donde Plowman and Boyd. Guys are talking about, you said, Russ, that we're on the lower tier of greatness. You know, Rick Barnes has put together a couple pretty good seasons over there, but I mean, he's also laid an egg in the tournament. And, you know, I'm like, Phil, I love hometown over there. But, you know, if you can't do anything with him, you know, what's the point? What the hell is the point? I don't know if I'm not going to poo-poo your opinion of it. You know, lower level greatness, but I just, winning 31 games and then getting shut out or getting blown out, not blown out, but getting knocked out of the tournament when you shouldn't be is just, it's disappointment for me. I appreciate the run. I'm not going to say I didn't appreciate the journey of being ranked number one for as long as we were. That's definitely fun. I'll give him that. There's worse things than being number one for a month. But, you know, I don't know if I agree with you about lower level greatness. You got to get to the Elite Eight, you know, and even think about that. Maybe a Final Four, maybe, you know, something like that. You know, give me that and you'll be lower, you know, talking to the greatness level. But guys, I'll get out of here. Like I said, it's, Phil said, you know, blame them because they're over there. Well, it's not just because they're over there. Those guys were going to bring Pruitt back. And that right there to me is incomprehensible, if that's a word. So y'all hang in there. Appreciate y'all letting me in. Oh, do the JUCO thing, man. Let's get that busted out. Let's do that. See you, bye.
We may have to savor that one, Russ.
I'm sorry. I zoned out there for a minute. I was just sharpening my dull blades and fashioning a noose over here at Stately Smith Manor after Phil and Jamie's phone calls. I mean, there's no doubt if they were that poor guy who plays for the Giants that they would have just gone ahead and finished the job.
Oh, wow.
Deep. Too much?
Yeah, you went there. I don't know if it's too much, but you went there.
My God. Of all the depressing segments that we've done on this show, I mean, that is on the Mount Rushmore right there.
What's that?
That segment of radio.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was... I don't know. They've been more depressing than that before.
I feel like if they sent that segment to Guantanamo Bay and blasted it right in the terrorists' faces in their cages, they'd tell us everything we want to know. More effective than waterboarding.
You think just sending Jamie and Phil down to Guantanamo, Camp X-Ray?
Quick timeout. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. More of your phone calls coming up. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Water climate control.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Russell, Bear, and Rick back with you, cruising right along on your Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Big news for Kentucky basketball. They get a commitment from Iowa transfer C.J. Frederick. Wildcats bolstering their perimeter shooting with a 46.7% career three-point shooter on 178 attempts. That's insane. Oh, I hate him already.
Oh, boy. That's not going to be fun to deal with next year. Hot shooter.
C.J. Frederick, a name that you will know and loathe very soon. As we get set to go back to it, 865-546-8200. TK is next. Hello, TK.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, man?
You know, I'll try to continue the positivity we got going on here.
Michael on Twitter says, Jamie's call was so depressing that I almost became a Clemson fan during that last segment.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I mean, let's be honest, though. Everybody's tired of hearing about a program that ain't done nothing in a decade and a half.
Okay.
You guys agree with that or no?
That we haven't done anything in a decade and a half? I mean, I don't think it's like an opinion to be agreed or debated. It's just a simple matter of fact.
And I think it's why everybody hates, well, I don't know, hate might be a strong word, but has Denny Watt on the hit list already for his comments?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a simple miscommunication. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think he meant it the way it came off, but it's one of those things that you either have to be more articulate in what you're trying to say, or just don't say it at all, because it's every time that he is alluded to negativity in the fan base, you know what it's done? Created more negativity in the fan base. So what does that tell you?
Yeah,
just
Russ,
shut up about it.
I'm right there with you. I think you got to pick and choose your battles. I mean, what topic of conversation over the last 5-10 years or so has not been more prevalent by the addition of social media, right? So you got to pick and choose your battles. You just know that that's always going to be there.
So I missed the tail end of Phil's call. Is he projecting the basketball season as a failure already?
He was not as down on Rick Barnes and UT basketball as Jamie was.
Well, we
nah, I
Jamie,
mean, Phil,
he's
Phil
never going to let Bruce Pearl go.
Program. I mean, Jamie's
never
going to
let Bruce Pearl
TK.
Go. But what Jamie forgets is, after that magical Elite Eight run, Bruce Pearl got bounced the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been, it's just frustrating. Tennessee basketball expected so much more this past season. And until Rick Barnes gets past the Sweet 16 here, and heck, man, even if he gets bounced in the Elite Eight, I think there's a section of our fan base that's always going to be upset until we go one step further than we've ever been before. So he's created some high expectations, but I mean, that's what you want, right? You want high expectations when you're upset about being bounced in the first round. I mean, that's, to me, that's the sign of a healthy fan base. And nobody's calling for Rick Barnes to be fired. Nobody with half a brain anyway, that's not a thing. So, I don't have a problem with the high expectations for Tennessee basketball.
I got a question for you and Bear, since you guys are old heads. What would you say about 15 years ago that we would have the number 2 ranked class in basketball, but we would go without doing anything in football for the next 15 years?
Said you're crazy, first of all. Like, that'll never happen. But I don't know. I don't know how you would have responded back then. It's you probably would have been, like I said, just a level of disbelief.
And Bear, I got a question for you. Did you get to see the Yankees game last night?
No, I did not. I turned in early last night. I was pretty wiped out after the show. So I know we won.
Oh yeah, it was a great game. It was like playing in the playoffs.
The
Yankees crowd were chanting "F you, Houston" all night.
Yeah. Anybody from Texas can go to hell.
Whoa.
Uncalled for.
I mean, with the exception of Warren and Kim Butler.
Are you upset because you heard me laugh at him call you guys the old heads?
That was you? I thought that was Rick or Bear.
No, huh? I mean, we're known as the old dudes. We wear that mantle proudly, don't we, Russ?
Oh.
I'm not old.
Yeah, don't you, Russ?
40 years young. Old dudes, get out of here. Anything else, TK?
No, that's it. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, you too, buddy. Oh, man, 865-546-8200. So I feel like that was a little more uplifting. I mean, he did reference some unpleasant memories out there, but geez, I'm not sitting here just staring into the abyss anymore.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm getting set to split here in just a little minute. I got a game for the youngin' to get to. Rick's going to pilot this ship for the final hour of the show today. It's been interesting. Should we do the JUCO thing? I figured we would give a break, but there have been several people that that wanted to do that.
I feel like to really flesh it out and do it justice, we need to maybe bump it. Yeah, maybe to tomorrow when you're going to be here for the entire show. We can really dig into it.
Where would we even go? Is there a resource that we could get that would tell us every JUCO player that we've ever had, or are we just going to have to go on our memory and the memories of our callers?
Russell, believe it or not, I do have here a top 10 list of JUCO Vols of all time.
Oh, my Lord.
Believe it or not.
Bear, do you want to hear it now, or should we hold on to it?
Well, I think we hold on to it.
He's not going to be here. You got to let him read the top 10. He won't be here.
Rick's not going to be here tomorrow?
No.
Where the hell are you going, Rick?
He's going back home to the Blitz. He's been helping us out. He's got stuff to do.
Get blitzed. Yeah, go ahead and read it then, Rick. I didn't realize you weren't wanting to hang out with me
well,
and Uncle Russ.
I got my hands in a couple different cookie jars here for the station, and tomorrow is a big web content day. You know, we got a whole web content side of people. They need their fill as well.
All right.
So here we go, and this is according to allfortennessee.com, the top 10 junior college Vols of all time. Number 10, Alvin Kamara.
Boy, if he's number 10, I can't wait to see the rest of this list.
Yeah, but with Kamara, he really, other than Texas A&M, you know, a few games and some really cool plays here and there, we didn't really, that's the biggest disappointment about Kamara.
So is the number one factor on this list their production at UT? It's not necessarily how great they became later.
Mm. It's a good question, Russ.
So the way that they did this, it says, I guess here, to qualify for this list, a player specifically has to have gone through junior college, and then our criteria looks at what they solely did at UT. Their performance at any other level, including the NFL, will be irrelevant.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So number 10, Alvin Kamara. Number 9, Jabril Wilson, defensive back, 0203.
Man, he was a good one.
Yeah, he was. Long career with the New York Giants.
Remember,
he's got a ring or two, doesn't he?
He had, I can't remember if he had the hit or the pick, but you remember the 0-3 Miami game when we won down there in the Orange Bowl? And it was just a low-scoring game, and Miami was driving late, and we had an interception in the red zone, and I think it was Jabril just absolutely decapitated someone, and then somebody else made the interception. I might be getting that backwards. He might have made the interception, but he was a good player in a good era.
Number 8. Chris Mims, defensive lineman, 90-91.
I mean, he was unreal. Now you're speaking directly to somebody of my vintage. Yeah, 100%. That our defense, that when we started bringing in guys like Chuck Smith and Chris Mims.
Bear, that's actually number 7 as well. So you can kind of just pair those two together. Number 7, Chuck Smith, the defensive edge guy.
Yeah.
A couple of sack masters right there, Mims and Chuck Smith. Quarterback's worst nightmare.
Number six, Corey Terry, defensive lineman.
Oh, wow. I had forgotten he was a JUCO.
I'd just forgotten all about him.
Number five.
How could you? Starting defensive end on the national championship team.
I mean, there were just so many.
Number five, Charlie Garner, running back, early 90s.
Incredible.
If he's number five, I can't wait to hear the other top four here.
Yeah. We're talking about the guy that sent, as stated already this week on the show, sent Aaron Hayden and James Littleman Stewart, two of the all-time great Tennessee running backs, back to the bench when he arrived.
To me, this next one at number four, I think could be the first one that you guys say, I want him in the top 10, but he should be maybe back a little bit. Number four, Cordarrelle Patterson, 2012.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love CP, but you don't put him in front of, I mean, Russ, what do you think? You putting him in front of any of these guys we've already talked about?
I think he's a special talent, man, and I think he gets penalized for playing in Dooley's last year because it was such a forgettable year otherwise, but he could have played on. I mean, he's one of the best players in school history. Just a phenomenal athlete with the ball in his hands. Maybe the best athlete we've ever had. Yeah. I can't think of if you're just wanting a guy to put the ball in his hands in the open field, we're not drawing up a play or anything, just a pure runner of the football. Is there, I don't know that there's a close second. That guy was.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
No, he was so good in space.
You're forgetting about a fella by the name of William Willie Gault.
Okay. I mean, that's before my time, but forgive me.
Willie Gault still runs a 10 flat 100, and he's like 58 now.
Well, I didn't get the pleasure of seeing him play. For me, though, it doesn't get much better than CP.
Yeah, I'll never forget the Chick-fil-A kickoff game where CP took North Carolina State's defensive back, their cornerback. He was supposed to be great. He took him to the woodshed. Number three on this list, Jesse, and y'all help me out here with the last name, Mahalona. Is that
Mahalona?
Okay, there you go. Jesse Mahalona, defensive lineman, early 2000s.
He's pretty darn good. He was pretty darn good. Passed away tragically in a car accident a couple of years ago. And just a great athlete for somebody his size as well.
Number two, Dale Carter, defensive back, early 90s.
Yeah, that's... I mean, depending on... I can't think of who's number one then. That's who I had at number one.
Hold on, let me... He would be number one. Junior college players. I mean, obviously, we're forgetting somebody huge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Leonard.
Yeah, I mean,
final answer?
Yes.
Correct. Leonard Little does come in at number one on this list. Now, there are a couple of honorable mentions. Anthony Miller, wide receiver. Bernard Daphne, offensive lineman. Julian Battle, defensive back. Michael Rivera, tight end. And Big Dan McCullers, defensive lineman. But yes, it is Leonard Little at the top spot, according to, I think a great list from allfortennessee.com here.
Yeah.
I would have put Dale Carter at number one and probably somebody else at two. Leonard Little, as Russ explained earlier, I mean, he came to Tennessee, and then he got, because of the way the rules were then, got pulled off the practice field and sent out to Hutchinson, and then immediately came back after he got his everything squared away and got eligible. So he's not in the true spirit of what I call a JUCO player.
No,
I guess technically
he played a year at junior college. Yeah. I mean, he's a junior college player for sure. But the thing about Little, people forget, because his senior year in 97, he was not the dominant force that he was his first 2 years in 95 and 96. They moved him to middle linebacker in 97. And I'll bet you if John Chavis had that to do over again, he would have left him at defensive end, because he was a wrecking ball, one man wrecking crew at middle linebacker. But when he played defensive end in the 4-3, he was unblockable coming off the edge. I mean, he was just, he wreaked so much havoc in 95 and 96. And we were a little bit short at linebacker, so they moved him. I bet you if they just left him there in 97, I wonder where he would have finished in terms of sacks and all time. But yeah, man, I mean, he was an absolute force.
Just incredible.
And that's your list.
Probably one of the most disruptive defensive players in SEC history.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we got to take a quick timeout. This will be our final break of the hour. We're going to be back to wrap up hour number two of the show right after this. Stay tuned. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
So you're watching the game. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. And some people pushing back against Cordarrelle Patterson being so high on that list.
I just got to think, man.
I think he's kind of high. I agree with him.
You would not be saying that if he had played in the early 90s. If you were a Johnny Majors player, people would speak about him in hushed tones.
Yeah, but he didn't. He played in the Dooley years. Well,
but he can't be.
And I mean, he was a specialist. You can't. You're going to compare him to the other nine guys on that list?
In the big time? Yeah, he's one of the best returners in school history.
He's a specialist. He's not.
He set records that year. He set records in the NFL. He's a great player, man.
You're not getting any argument out of me about that. But he's way overranked in that deal.
I agree with Bear that he's a specialist, but when I watched him, he was a specialist at moving the ball down the field. And I think that's as much as you can ask for out of a receiver.
You don't remember back when we were good.
No, but I saw CP.
I do. I was there.
Yeah, and you've got I don't know what the hell your problem is.
Put
CP on a field with Dale Carter on the opposite team. And
Bear, he's played 10 years in the National Football League.
He didn't play against DC.
Oh, God.
He didn't play against my man.
You got a Dale Carter fetish, man. It's unhealthy. You need to let it go. It's weird, dude. It's a little weird.
No, you're weird saying it's weird. He's one of the greatest Tennessee Vols ever. I mean, when he came to Tennessee in that play, that golden night in Neyland Stadium, when we beat the absolute dog crap after
strange,
out of Florida, weird. He immediately Tennessee started playing. That was when the Tennessee decade of dominant swag really started in earnest.
Well, Bear, as we get set to go, we have a situation. My Chelsea Football Club, as we speak, Bear, are putting the finishing touches on a 2-0 masterclass victory over Real Madrid in London. And it's a final now.
At the blank hole, as Liam calls it, over there at Wembley.
Chelsea is going to Istanbul to play Man City in the Champions League final. Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Well, they beat Real Madrid.
Yep, 3-1 on aggregate. A Thomas Tuchel masterclass this afternoon, Bear. Unbelievable.
I got faith in the Blues. Right. We're going to bend them over and show them all of Turkey, most of Eastern Europe, the Ottoman Empire.
Okay.
Hey, well, we got both of you here real quick in the last minute or so. Did anybody see the brand new House of the Dragon Targaryen spinoff show? They released some photos of it today.
I did see some still shots the other day on social media. Looks like the Targaryen still got the white hair. Looks incredible.
Yep.
I'm a little jacked up about it.
They're looking awfully stoic.
Kind of tingly, I might say.
Maybe
Russ.
A little bit menacing.
Now, when does that show begin? I'm assuming on HBO. Oh,
wow, good question. Let me see if I can find that for you as quickly as I can. I'm on the website right now.
What
2022,
about,
at least.
What does they say about a Targaryen when a Targaryen's born? What was the
old saying?
They're going to
kill a lot of people.
Russ?
They're going to kill a lot of people.
All right, guys. I got a split. Yeah. Wish me luck as I head to the ball field.
Try not get in trouble, Russ. Remember what Coach Vitello said. Do not scream at the umpires.
That's up to them, man. Everybody has to be held accountable. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. Rick, thanks for your help this week, buddy. I'll be back in studio with y'all tomorrow. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive. Bankruptcy, divorce, personal injury. These are just some of the curveballs.